Welcome to the Fast Cars, Fast Girls podcast with Abby and Molly.
Oh my God, I love that song.
Oh, you're here in Indiana. It's a great song.
It's a great song, and Hoosier Hysteria just happened.
Hoosier Hysteria, basketball season's coming up. I know we're an IndyCar podcast, but we are IU alums, so.
I worship at Assembly Hall.
Yeah,
Creed and Crimson. You know that was the first song we learned as children?
Was the Indiana Fight song?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
We had a bear, you'd press its little paw, and it would sing the Indiana Fight song. To this day, I get real jazzed up.
You know, my high school's fight song was the same tune.
That's right. I forgot about that. Well, we're not here to talk about Indiana basketball, as upset as I am.
We're not, but we do always support it. Matter of fact, we're not even here to talk about me, even though it's my birthday.
It is your birthday. You know what? Dang it. I wanted to start off with a different song because it was your birthday.
Oh.
If I might.
Sure. Yeah, we're gonna party.
Yeah, we are. Today and Friday.
Getting fucked up on a Wednesday.
Yeah, why Wednesday? Right, sorry. Oh, nope, I hit the wrong button.
Oh.
Sorry.
We're going again.
My apologies, Fitty's in.
Fitty. All right, well, it is my birthday.
It
and it's a
birthday.
Good day. Let's warm up the tires.
All right, so we're gonna talk about the silly season and some news.
Yes.
Because shit popped off again.
It did.
I was concerned about what we would talk about in the off season. I am not concerned.
Not concerned.
No,
not the least.
Not at all. It's been a nice like trickle of info.
Yeah.
So we'll talk about the info that has came out since last time.
Yep.
We'll do a little female racer news, a little woman crush Wednesday. Of course, shit we didn't make up.
Of course.
Of course.
Our favorite section.
And because it's just now a week to Halloween, maybe we'll get a little spooky.
We'll get a little spooky.
A little spooky. Just a little bit.
Just a little. We don't want to scare anybody.
Yeah, we're not that scary.
No. I mean.
No.
A little bit of Jameson and you say the wrong thing. We might be a little scary.
There's some scourge. Maybe Friday.
Maybe.
You never know.
I mean, we are dressing up, so.
And we are drinking on Main Street.
We are indeed. We're going to the Speedway Crawloween. So if you live in around Indianapolis, you should definitely head to Main Street on Friday night.
I think they'll be able to point us out of the crowd.
Yeah.
At least
I mean, that's what I'm doing for my birthday celebration, is that a group of friends are coming. But it's not just for me. It is for Halloween for Speedway. But yeah, it'll be a good time. So come on out.
All right.
Buy me a shot if you see me.
I think that's the rule.
I mean, definitely. It's my birthday.
Yes.
It's my birthday.
Please don't make me play 50 Cent again. I'll do
it. I will not.
I'll do it.
All right. So, silly season news.
So, Team Canada.
Team Canada?
Hashtag Team Canada. So, Schmidt... Peterson Motorsport is now hashtag Team Canada.
They are indeed.
Oh, Canada.
Oh, Canada.
Oh, Canada. So, Hinch is
next
back.
Next year I can go. Next year I can come visit you, Canada.
Hinch is back. Back again. Guess who's back? Hinch is back.
Hinch is back. He's Canada's fastest export.
He's... Oh, my.
That was on a t-shirt I bought this weekend.
Did you buy that t-shirt?
Yeah, I did.
I love that
It was
thing.
On clearance. Hinchcliffe, Canada's fastest export. It's okay. A great shirt.
I'm going to let that one sit.
So he signed a multi-year deal.
He signed a multi-year deal with Schmidt Peterson Motorsport, and we finally figured out who's going to drive with number 5.
And it is Robert Wickens.
Robert Wickens. So if you maybe remember the name Robert Wickens, he did test, so for the Kohler GP when Mikhail had the immigration issues, he was there and he kind of did the practice before Mikhail came in.
Oh, that's right, because he was tentatively going to run for him.
He did. And then in February, there was sort of a ride swap between Hinch and Robert Wickens. So, a little quick on Wickens, he did Formula BMW for a couple of years. He won the championship there in 2006.
Really?
Champ Car Atlantic, Formula Renault Series. He was the champion in 2011 for the Formula Renault Series.
Wow.
And then basically from 2012 to 2017, he's been doing DTM, which is Deutsch Travel. It's the touring cars.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, so he's been doing those since about 2012 to 2017.
Interesting.
So the team he's on apparently went away. And now he's joining IndyCar with his BFF, James.
That's awesome. So they're actually BFFs in real life, too.
They're BFFs in real life.
Oh, that's adorable. I mean, it really is, though. That really is super cute.
Aw, so not only are they...
I mean, how much fun would you have? I mean, think about how much fun we have, and we do this, like, a couple hours a week.
I mean, basically...
All day, every day to work together.
I feel like Schmidt-Peterson Motorsport is Team Canada, but it's also Team BFF.
Yeah, it's definitely Team BFF.
I feel like there should be shirts.
Right? Oh my gosh, we should make shirts, Team BFF.
We're making shirts.
Yeah, we're making
That's
shirts,
our idea.
Team BFF.
Nobody can take it. Trademark. TM. I'm an attorney.
I know a notary.
I know a notary.
All right. They're also hinting that
Juan
will have an Indy 500 car with SPM.
Yes. Sam Schmidt said he was excited to have Juan perhaps drive. Juan, of course, is excited to drive because Juan is a good driver.
Juan loves to drive. Juan just wants to drive.
Why are you not like Juan?
Juan is not so bad.
Juan is not so bad. Every time.
Juan can drive anything. Oh, all right. You know what's interesting, though, is that they're already going to have three cars in the 500, not including JPM.
That's true. That's true, because they've got, what's his face?
Yeah.
With the other dude.
Yeah, with the murderer.
Yes.
Yeah.
This is why we're best friends. I can say, what's his face with the other dude? Oh, yeah, that one.
Yeah. Tristan something.
Tristan Gauthier? Not Gauthier.
Gamel. Is something. It starts with a G.
I've had enough wine that I can actually speak pretty good French and Italian right now.
Oh, nice.
It's happened.
But yeah, he's, because his car is being paid for by Kalmels, who is the murderer. Mm-hmm. Convicted. I'm not speaking out of turn here. It's not slander.
Nope. It's real. Juan can put the money together for a ride.
I mean,
hopefully.
I guess since he's going to be going for just the Indy 500, because in the past when he tried to get another team,
it was a
they
full
were like,
team.
There's the door. Yeah, it was for a full season. So,
because it'll be his third? If he wins.
If he were to win, it would be his third. So, I mean, I can see somebody having an interest in keeping him.
I think so.
In the Indy 500 as well, so.
I think because Elio's with Penske, and I bet Penske's just fronting it, but I think Juan could pull together somebody.
You would think, at least for that race.
They do also have to find some engineers.
They do.
Because the engineers have been switching out more than the drivers this year.
Yeah, the engineers have been like crazy.
It's silly season for engineers as well.
It really is. It really is.
Yeah.
People have been all over the place. So.
Yeah.
So we shall see. Fernando Alonso will most likely be at the Rolex 24, which is in Daytona in January.
Yes. That's
which we are hoping to go to.
Yes.
So Indy 500 Pirate, I know you hit us up on Twitter asking... And I said 90% chance that we're going.
So I start a new job in about a week.
So we're going to see.
I got to just get my... I mean, I'm sure I can take the time off. It's still steak, but...
I mean, I don't even know where I'm going to be working at that time of January. So I'll just... Whatever job I have, I'll just tell them in the interview.
Yeah, we just have to kind of put that out there.
Yeah.
I want to jump real quick. I know what we want to talk about, but let's hit one more thing before we circle back.
All right.
So with the world's least surprising announcement, Verizon will not be a title sponsor starting the 2019 season.
Yeah.
I mean, everybody knew.
Yeah, we all did now.
Everybody knew. According to Mark Miles, hopefully they should know something by the end of the year.
Well, that's good. Well, and they, you know, had said that they appreciated Verizon letting them know this far in advance.
Yeah, I mean,
so that they could,
really nice.
You know, try to find somebody else. You know, it's like they have all this season to kind of, you know, figure out who they want to court, per se, as far as sponsorship and show, you know, these are the things that can be done, blah, blah.
I mean, it's interesting because Verizon's been kind of covering a lot of the, you know, I use it.
Yeah, you can listen to the in-car radio.
I listen to in-car radio. And I know Verizon will still be a part of IndyCar.
Yeah.
So I guess it depends on whom they end up contracting with for title sponsorship rights. Perhaps Verizon will keep the app but open it up to everybody else as like a paid app.
Yeah.
You know, because they were IZOD, so it's not like they're looking for somebody with that media cred for their title sponsor.
Yeah. Oh, wait, do we know where we stopped?
Yeah, right before the big announcement.
Okay.
So this just happened.
You don't have to say it like an asshole.
Sorry, I didn't mean to. I did not mean to say
right
it.
Before the big announcement?
Right before the big announcement.
Dumbass.
Look, bitch, if you ain't paying attention.
Sorry, go ahead.
Don't let me catch you napping.
Oh. Just so you know, Molly's going to splice two pieces together because we accidentally hit stop on the recording. And so I just wanted to make sure that we weren't starting to talk too soon. That's why I was asking.
I appreciate it, and I did not mean to sound like an asshole.
Right before the big announcement.
Right before the big announcement. I'm just already angry.
I know.
I'm already angry.
I know.
I
AJ Foyt is officially not having Connor Daly drive for them this year. We are displeased.
To say the least.
Displeased. I mean,
I don't even know where to begin with this.
So, Munoz only drove for him for 2 years. Last year was Daly's first year with AJ Foyt.
Right. They switched engines, like, super quickly right before the start of the new season.
Yeah, so they really didn't have time to test out the engines or any of that. It was supposed to be a, quote-unquote, learning year, which, in my mind, makes you think that, like...
You won't get a pass for that first year.
Yeah, because you're going to be trying some shit out. You might be trying some shit that's... You're going to figure out what's going to work, what's not going to work, and then... Build from there.
And by the way, that back half season of that learning year
went great.
Went great. Nope.
But yeah, it's like if you knew that your ride was on the line. I mean, technically it was because it was only a 1 year contract. But it's like, you know, when you come into it knowing it's a learning year versus like, you know, you have to, yeah, you drive differently.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you would definitely not try as many different strategies and things that might not pan out if it weren't a learning year.
Exactly.
So, yeah. So he's not back with AJ Foyt. We are very upset about this.
I'm enraged. I'm enraged because how can you build a team with consistency? Well, without consistency.
I mean, you cannot build an efficient team without consistency. And that's the thing, is they've changed out drivers.
Yeah. All new drivers.
Yeah. Now they've changed out some engineers. They changed out the engine last year. We've got a new chassis this year. So there's already, and all the engineers wanted it. So there's already a lot of changes.
Yes.
But we're going to not bring back either of the drivers we had because that's the problem. Because
that's the problem. It's a stupid decision.
It's not all of the other inconsistencies.
Also, let's wait and tell our drivers until the end of fucking October.
Yeah.
Like fucking October.
Well, and I don't think it's been officially announced for Munoz. He's just assuming it is.
I mean,
he's acting as if he's not.
I think both of them know. I think the announcement will be when they choose who to fill.
Mm-hmm.
But I think both of them have been told, hey, it's not going to be you.
Yeah.
And if you know it's not going to be them, give them an opportunity to find rides. Because what the shit? I mean, let's who's open? Where's my little spreadsheet open?
Chip Ganassi has one open.
Chip's got a spot open. There's Ed's ride buddy.
Yep.
Ed's road course buddy.
Yep.
Andretti is full. Chip's got a spot. Schmidt is full. Coin is full. Full because everybody's assuming it's going to be Bourdais and Jones, RLL.
But Bourdais the only one that's confirmed.
Bourdais, yeah. Did they confirm Bourdais?
He's listed as confirmed on the Wikipedia page of teams and drivers.
Hey, if it's on Wikipedia, it's true.
I mean, they still have Marco's numbers 27, so. Which technically it is because he hasn't.
He hasn't. Yeah. Oh, I need to update that. RLL, it's only two drivers, Foyt, okay. Ed, so we need Ed's road course buddy. Harding's not confirmed, but we think it's going to be Chavez, and that's going to be their only driver. Mm-hmm. Everybody else is just guessing.
Yeah.
So we're looking at Ed's road course buddy or the number 10 with Chip. And Jesus, that's the most sought after seat in all of racing.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you couldn't have given your guys a little more warning, a little more advanced knowledge.
Right. It's interesting.
It's hateful.
Although, you know what I would love? I would love for Connor to get picked up by Chip Ganassi and race alongside Dixon and gain some of his wisdom and knowledge and learn from his experiences and then be a complete stud next season.
Yeah.
Just to, like, give a big fuck you in AJ's face of, like, you could have kept me with a seasoned driver like Kanaan and I would have done great things.
Definitely.
Just to prove that, like, this equation works.
Mm-hmm.
You just didn't want to give it a shot. And, like, I guess it's Larry Foyt who makes most of the decisions.
I know. I shouldn't direct my anger at AJ. But I will direct my anger at Larry.
Yeah. It's just... I mean, well, and the thing is, I like Munoz and Daly both.
They're both good drivers. I think they both have that talent there that needs to be developed.
They do. And they need consistency and they need good equipment. And that's one of the other things is that for a team that has AJ Foyt's name on it, their equipment has just always seemed...
Shitty. I mean, there's no other word but shitty.
Yeah.
Ugh.
And so it's like, maybe that's the problem, is that you keep putting them in shitty cars. Like,
maybe the problem is not the drivers. Maybe the problem is the equipment.
I mean, it's a big part of it.
Putting it out there.
It's a big part of it.
I'm just saying. I'd like them to be.
They're not out there running.
Yeah,
the cars are, half of the battle.
That is half the battle. I'd like them to see... I'd like to see him go to Chip. I think that's nice.
I would enjoy that.
I would, too. I think that'd be a good pairing. I think, yeah. I mean, I'd be okay with him having the road course buddy. I think it's...
I mean, there's been a lot of people on Twitter who really want to see Ed Carpenter pick up Daly. And don't get me wrong. I would love to see Daly with Ed Carpenter.
Yeah.
I love them both. I love Ed Carpenter's team. I mean...
Olive.
Yeah.
Olive. But at the same time, it almost feels like a step backwards.
For Connor, it does. Because he wants to race on all of the courses, mm-hmm. not just the road courses. Yes. Now, granted, whoever Ed gets will probably have a seat in the 500.
Right.
Because
he typically runs three with an outside sponsor.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But yeah, I think for Connor's career, it would be better for him to go with Chip than with Ed. But again, if your options are a partial ride or no ride.
Right. I mean, like,
that partial ride
something
looks
is better
good.
Than nothing. Yeah.
So I'm what so I frustrated. Think would be a better pick for Ed Carpenter for his road courses is Jack Harvey.
Right. You just sent that article.
Before. Yeah.
Well, I was on my way here, so I didn't have time to write it down.
Yes. And so it was an interesting article about Jack Harvey and how, you know, he's trying to get a spot. And his sponsors, they said it very nicely in the article, but basically his sponsors were like, pick a competitive team. Like, we don't want to sponsor a car that loses all the time.
Bangers only.
Right, yeah.
Basically what his owners.
Yeah,
his sponsors said, bangers only. Okay.
But yeah, most of the races that he's really interested in running are road courses.
Yeah, because he mentioned like Long Beach,
St. Pete.
I mean, the 500, but everybody's going to try and get in the 500.
I mean, everybody wants to be in the 500.
So, I mean,
except
I feel
for
like...
Lewis Hamilton, who could suck his own dick.
And Buddy was here.
And Buddy was here. No, he'll still be in it.
He's still there.
He's still there every year. Driving like a Lotus.
Oh! Yeah. I like that.
Yeah.
I like that.
Race control doesn't seem to give a shit.
Sorry. Ooh, we're back.
We're back. That's a quote from Hinchcliffe about Buddy Lazier. Race control doesn't seem to give a shit.
I'm just happy about you're driving like a Lotus.
You're driving like
I'm
a Lotus.
I'm going to start yelling that at people at 465.
Seriously.
I'm going to use it.
Seriously.
Yeah, it's nice.
But yeah, I mean, but again, if, you know, because Piggott was, I'm sorry, Peugeot.
Excuse me.
Peugeot. He was just the road courses this year, but now in 2018, he's going to have a full season.
So here's the problem with that is that I don't want to call it the new garden, but let's call it the new garden.
Yeah.
You are Ed's road course buddy. You do full time and then you get picked up by Penske. I mean, I think that Ed's biggest fear is that he's going to have these drivers who...
He's said many times. Yeah, he doesn't want to be a farm team. He doesn't want to be a developing team.
Which means, Ed...
But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you who's got loyalty. Connor Daly. Maybe. And so although it would be a step back for him this season, if he has a choice between a full-time and a part-time, if he took the part-time with Ed, if Piggott got picked up, or if Daly just did better...
in the off-season, we can start... Ed needs to start, like, you know, shaking hands, kissing babies, and get some more money.
Uh-huh. Or
maybe it's time.
If Piggott gets picked off and then Daly's his full time, Daly's not gonna leave.
I feel there's a lot of loyalty in him.
Yeah. I mean, he's a loyal guy.
He seems like a real loyal kid.
Yeah. He does. He does. I mean, I don't feel like he would, you know, quit on a team that
deuces.
Was yeah. I mean, I get that the money was great and all that business, but at the same time I feel like
I think it would be like you and I would make that same decision. Like, would the money be better at Penske? Well, I mean, Penske's a weird decision for you, but let's just say any other team, or a higher profile team.
Yeah.
The money would be better, but I think at our heart, there's that loyalty.
Well, and also I feel like you have more individuality with Ed Carpenter Racing than you do at Penske. Penske, you're kind of a Stepford wife.
Oh my God.
I mean, you are.
You are, though.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's
the Penske way or no way.
Yeah. And so, I mean, there's pros and cons. I mean, everybody looks at that when you look at different jobs. It's like, okay, this job I can make more money, but I have to sacrifice X, Y, and Z. This job I'm going to make less money, but okay, I can wear casual clothes into the office. I can do, you know, it's like there's different things that, you know, and loyalty would come into play. I mean, if I had to choose between the two, I'd probably stay with Carpenter because I think it'd be more fun.
I think it would be too. You get to be yourself. I especially think it being...
I love vodka.
Well, there's that.
I mean, I'd stay just for the Fuzzy's vodka.
If I got a discount...
In fact, if I ever got a job with Ed Carpenter Racing, you could pay me mostly in vodka.
I'm sorry, what vodka do I bring to the track?
Right? Fuzzies.
It's Fuzzies.
All day, every day.
It's the only vodka in my house. Like, I'll pay the extra anyway. little insight into my drinking habits there.
Right.
So that happened. Ah, boy.
So, yeah, I hope Connor gets a ride, though.
I really do, too. He's a good kid. He's got good instincts. He's come up through.
He needs better equipment.
I think with better equipment, with a couple of years on a team, we're going to see him really start to turn to become that driver we want.
And with a consistent engineer, with a with consistency, period. It is so hard to better yourself when things are constantly changing, because you're constantly having to adapt and adjust.
And learn, well.
And I'm not saying that you're not always doing that, you know, right. When you're getting better. But, you know, if you can control some of those factors,
mm-hmm.
It just makes it so much easier.
Well, I'll ask you this. Because you're a travel nurse, so typically you are stationed at different hospitals, not like Monday I'm at one hospital, Tuesday I'm not, but you have to readapt and relearn. You know, do you feel that takes a minute or two to get used to it before?
Oh, absolutely it does. Absolutely it does, because not every hospital has the same charting system. So, mm-hmm. You know, if I go somewhere where I haven't used that charting system before, I've got to learn it. And so my charting at the end of my assignment is much better than the charting at the mm-hmm. beginning, because I'm more comfortable with it and I know where to put things. Whereas at the beginning of the assignment, it's kind of that charting of like,
yeah.
God, I hope this doesn't ever go to court.
That's a good hope to have.
Yeah.
Just want to put that out there.
And, you know, and also like learning where things are
mm-hmm.
as far as, you know, like x-ray, all your radiology, you know, your CTs, your MRIs, all that business. Learning where the pharmacy is if you have to go and pick something up.
Yeah.
You know, if I have a patient that is, you know, I think they've had a stroke and they need to go to the CT scanner immediately, but I don't know where the CT scanner is, then I got to find somebody that can come with me.
Whereas,
right, because I'm like, I think I walked past it once. Is it in the basement? Is it by the cafeteria? I don't know. Whereas if later on, once I know where things are, and I've been there a couple times, I know where it is. Like, I think this patient's having a stroke. I can get by my mobile phone as I'm unplugging the bed and already getting this patient ready to rock and roll. And I can take them down by myself, and it can be a much faster, efficient, more efficient process.
Yeah.
So even though the outcome is different, I'm still going to have to adapt to that situation. Yeah, it absolutely, once I'm comfortable somewhere, it's a lot easier to do. It's not that I can't still do it. It's just not as efficient.
Right. And I think that's the whole
and
point.
Yeah,
being,
I think that it absolutely translates to race card. I think it translates to any
I
job
it
you
does.
Have.
Sure, sure.
You know, if you get a new boss every year and they change how they want things done.
Everything is thrown out the window. Yeah, I had a boss change, and from the way I did it before to the way I did it now, there was a learning curve. Because you're like, shit, everything's different.
Absolutely, and I think that learning curve for Connor was the first half of the season.
Yeah, and it came together that second half. Oh, I'm just frustrated.
I mean, starting at Mid-Ohio, it was just...
I'm just so frustrated right now.
I know. I'm very upset about it.
It makes me cranky.
Yeah.
I have my angry eyes on.
Oh, yeah.
Angry eyes.
Angry eyes.
Your rosé is bad, and you should feel bad, and your decision was bad. That's all I have to say on the matter.
You're bad.
You suck as a winemaker. And as a race car team owner. Not so much as a race car driver.
Yeah, you're a fine race car driver.
Fine, AJ.
You just suck at this.
But Larry Foyt, you can go fuck
get
yourself.
Fucked.
Sorry,
get,
Mom.
Get fucked.
Sorry, somewhere my mother just went, You're doing so good. All right, let's move on to a more pleasant topic. New car. They have been testing this bad boy where?
Yes, they have.
Phoenix, Texas. I forgot Mid-Ohio on my list.
Mm-hmm.
Mid-Ohio. Also, I know that Hinchcliffe tweeted out a picture of the little, like the dash display. Oh my god.
It's pretty. Well, because they took some of the like digital stuff from F1 for this one.
Yeah, so they're borrowing from F1, which is fine, because I think F1 has the money to do a lot more.
They do, and they typically have a lot of newer technology.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And so I think a lot of different types of racing, you know, uses what they came from that technology.
I don't know why not.
Yeah, I don't know why not either. I think that's awesome.
Go for
it. We should definitely share it. So, I mean, you know, and like our safer barriers, and, you know, anything that makes the sport better.
Go for
share it.
Why not?
Yeah.
So... yeah. Ooh, did we retweet it? We'll retweet it. I don't think I did before we started.
No.
I just showed it to you and went, oh my god, it's so pretty. Look,
oh yeah,
screen
no, we, did
on
not,
it.
We did not.
I got real excited. I was like, it's got a screen! Is it a touch screen? I don't know. But it's pretty. Also, if you live in the Speedway area, I will do my best to get this out late tonight, which is Wednesday. So Thursday, you're going to hear some cars on the track.
You sure are.
They are not tire testing, which is the excuse we give everybody.
Yeah. What's happening to the track? Tire testing.
Tire testing. Oh, no.
Oh, no.
Oh, no. Honda's out there testing those chassis.
Yes, they are.
I'm excited.
Yes, they are. I'm excited. We got Dixon Hinchcliffe out at the IMS, so if you're around, Molly will be at work like a loser.
So mad!
But I'm off on vacation this week because it's my birthday, so I'll be at the track tomorrow afternoon.
I really want to go.
Or if you leave work early, because they're not going to test in the morning because it'll be too hot and cold.
You know, if your hearings get over with, and just happen to get in at 7 a.m. and
skip your lunch, you leave early.
At 3 a.m., you're like, fuck you guys, I'm going to the track.
Or 3 p.m.
3 p.m. I mean, I could show up at 3 a.m., but I don't think anybody will be there testing.
I don't think it's open. I don't think you can get in.
I don't think so. So that's what's happening. I'm excited. I am hopeful that you send me videos.
Oh, I absolutely will. And I'll be putting shit on our Snapchat as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
So.
And maybe tweet as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll be hitting it all up.
Good. So that's happening Thursday. So that's why you will be hearing Cars on the Track on Thursday. I feel like we should put that out there. PSA.
PSA, yeah. If PSA. You're in the area and you're able to come on out. It's free. You can park in the museum and walk right over to the Turn 2 Mounds.
I have seen the photos of these cars now with the liveries online.
Oh, I can't wait.
I will tell you right now, Hinch's car is the prettiest car I've ever seen in my fucking life.
Oh my god, it's so pretty.
With like the, anyway.
And that means a lot coming from us because we're IU grads and his car is black and gold.
So we really have to overcome a lot.
Yeah, like it's very pretty.
I mean, if it was Michaela Lucian's, it was black and red, I'd be a lot more.
Well.
You know.
Or
Dixon's throwback to the Target red and white. I've been all over that car.
All over it. All right. Discussion on rules/safety changes.
Yeah.
So they're talking about a halo.
Well, I should...
Which, it's more of a windshield.
It's a windshield. So the issue is F1 uses a halo.
And that comes over the top, right?
So it's
Or is theirs more like a windshield?
It's more like, you know how you put on a flip-flop?
Yeah.
It's like a flip-flop thong thingy. I don't know what to call it, where your feet go through.
Oh. Like a T-top?
Yes, it is like a T-top. Exactly, but it comes right kind of in front of them.
Okay.
So, because...
Interesting.
We are not taking videos, so it is useless for me to make little... So, like, there's a bar in front. So, everybody put your hand up in front of you. It's like that. And then it kind of comes around them.
Doesn't that bar get in the way of them seeing?
So, on a road course, not a problem. Here is why IndyCar is looking at the windshield. Ovals.
You can't do that on an oval. You have too big of a blind spot.
That's exactly why the thought for IndyCars would be going to a windshield. Which begs my question, what about when it rains? Will they have a little windshield wiper?
I guarantee they will not. Too much weight.
I'm just
That would be hilarious, though.
I would lose my
shit. You know what I used to love when I had a Volvo? My fucking headlights had their own windshield wipers.
Damn.
Yeah, I always think of that Ron White joke. I've got the 3-inch windshield wipers to keep my headlights clean in a rainstorm. Yeah, and when I got that car, I was like, I got headlight windshield wipers.
So I'm going to date my father, but he had the one, but he's so old. How old is he? He would be able to run the windshield wipers by like a foot pedal.
Damn.
Just dated him. It's okay.
Damn.
I'd say he doesn't listen, but apparently he does now.
Apparently he does. So yeah, the windshield is interesting.
I
wonder what is the purpose of it protection for the drivers?
Yes. So the whole purpose of this is protection so something doesn't come flying at your fucking head.
But it seems like it only protects a small space of them. Because like Justin Wilson's death, I don't feel like a windshield would have made any difference because the nose of Sage Graham's car hit him straight on the head. And so, in that scenario, the windshield would not have come into play.
I think the windshield will be coming like this.
I saw a picture of it.
Like
I mean,
up over. So it would,
but it's not going to come completely because they still have to be able to get in and out easily.
So there's an article, and I need to find it and retweet it, about the F1 halo. When they talk about a lot of the myths and, well, that's the F1. And that halo, their big concern was the prototype they used. You couldn't get in and out of it because if you used the halo to try and, like, wedge yourself in and wedge yourself out, it would crumple. And they're like, no, we're going to make it out of better material.
Okay.
But that's that weird halo and not a windshield.
I mean, because there's no way, unless you make it like a fighter jet cockpit, that you can have an actual windshield that shields them completely.
True.
That is going to serve its purpose and not be used as, I mean, as an object of destruction shouldn't come off the car.
I mean, that's what you and I talked about.
As a projectile.
Over the weekend was, either it needs to be high enough to keep, it needs to be high enough to keep everything off of the driver.
Yeah.
And it needs to be strong enough that it will not just crumple on impact, because then now you've got two things coming at you.
Well, yeah, now you've got, I mean, and I, you know, windshields on your daily driver car, you know, it's the non shatter glass. Yeah. And so like it won't,
it just spiders.
Yeah, it just spiders out. So your side windows won't do that though. You'll get shards of glass. Yeah. But yeah, it's like, how is it going to break? Is it going to come apart from the car? Is mm-hmm. it going to fly off the car easily and be a projectile that way? And you also get into drag issues.
Yeah.
If you make it too tall, it's just interesting. I don't see how it can
There's a lot of
work efficiently. Mm-hmm. I mean, granted, I'm not an engineer.
No.
So I'm sure there are people that are trying to figure all this out. But yeah, without it being like a fighter pilot cockpit, mm-hmm. like it either has to be applied on after you get in the car,
mm.
or I don't think it's going to efficiently block your head.
Yeah.
And not cause extra drag.
Yeah. I mean, there's a lot to go on. There's a lot to go on.
But again, if it comes on after you, does it come off easily so that you aren't trapped in the car? I mean, but then
that's another
how
thing
easily
about,
does it come
yeah.
off? Because you don't want to come off and be a projectile. I mean, there's a lot of things.
This is why we need to work for IndyCar and race control.
Risk management. I'm great at risk
I
management.
I mean, your job
we're
and my
OCD.
Job is
well,
compliance
and
risk management. And
we're OCD, so we are always thinking
like,
worst case
give
scenario.
Give me a problem, I'll go. Here's how it can fuck you up in 6 days.
Right?
Ways.
Like, you tell me, I've got this great idea. Let me tell you all the ways that it could go wrong and people could sue you.
Let me tell you how it's not a great idea. You're welcome.
I'm like, but then I'm like, I'm going to live your life. Like, it sounds super fun.
Do you. Like, hey, man, if you want to do it, go for it. Here's why it's maybe not the greatest idea.
Right? So, interesting. All right. They also want to change the qualifications procedure for ovals.
Yeah. So, this was the article I think you and I have kind of spoken about, and we definitely did retweet it. Yeah.
So, yeah, so there's two things that want to happen. One of them is to change the pits during yellow flags, and so we'll get into that later. And then the other
yeah.
was the qualification procedure for ovals. And so they want to do it for all oval races. Some want changes even to the 500 qualification
yes.
process, which, good fucking luck.
Right.
If you've ever read through the IndyCar rules, like I do every year.
Because
it's fun.
That's how we live our lives.
And I have a fucker of memory, so then I just like to throw out random rules.
Yeah, it's cool, it's cool.
You can download the PDF on your phone. Uh-huh. It's cool. But there are so many rules.
Or print it out and carry a binder with me like I do.
Like you do, yes. There are so many rules that pertain just to the Indy 500.
Yeah, it's its own section.
And so, if you think, I mean, the Indy 500 is they're gonna do what they want.
Like, they basically like, that's adorable.
That's adorable.
That's adorable.
This is how we're doing it. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. Currently, basically, it's a draw. You
it's
draw
a draw. They literally they draw,
you
names
draw your
out of
names
hat.
Out of hat. In fact, they actually have a whole setup for the 500. So after Fast Friday,
mm-hmm.
you could come and watch them draw names. I don't believe
you totally can.
We've ever watched them draw names because no. Why? I'll see it tomorrow. It's fine.
Yeah,
it's fine.
We don't. Well, we're usually
well,
prepping for the next day.
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Sometimes a little drunk.
Always.
Usually, yeah.
Every time. So they draw names. So some of the complaints about that is that if you're an earlier driver, because a lot of these race weekends are not just IndyCar, but there's, you know, the Moss Road Indy kids are out there. Other series might be also racing. They're like, well, all of their shit is on the track, blah, blah, blah. Like, if you're an early driver, your truck is dirty. And conversely, then, if you're a later driver, that's later in the afternoon, that's when you get that really good, you know, track temperature, ambient temperature, everything's ready to go. It's that golden hour.
Yes.
So that's the big complaint. So they want to do it. A couple of ideas is like practice times. If you're the slowest in practice, you go first.
Okay.
Or oval points, because I think it was an article and Will Power talked about, well, we should, I'm not going to do an Australian accent. We should just do oval points. And he said oval points only because otherwise Ed Carpenter gets screwed.
I mean, it's true, though.
Which is true, but I love that he, like, specifically
yeah.
said, because otherwise Ed gets screwed.
Yeah.
So, I don't know.
I mean, and that's a good thought. I mean, I don't know. I enjoy randomness because
I'm
a free
randomness.
Spirit.
Well, there's that. Yeah.
I'm a free spirit. And so, but I understand their concern. So, aside from the Indy 500,
right.
I will say the Indy 500, I love that it's random, and I think they should keep it that way because most of the time, unless there's a huge rain delay like there was this year,
right.
you have the opportunity to qualify again. Everybody goes, everybody's guaranteed one shot,
mm-hmm.
and then you can go again if there's time.
Right. And like 2 years ago, I can remember us sitting there watching quals and, you know, there's the time clock, and they are about to shoot that gun off, and Michaela Loesch was like, let's do this, and hit the lines right before that gunshot went off to, like, signify in, and we were all like, yeah, let's do this!
And he put down a great qualifying time.
He put down a great time. So, yeah, I think for the 500,
hey, did he end up in the Fast 9 with that?
I think he did,
yeah.
Don't check me on that one, I could be
right. But fun fact, if your second qualifying time is worse than the first, you don't get to use the best. It's the most recent qualifying time. So,
yeah.
I mean, you scratch your first one and you go again. But
yeah.
At other tracks, they don't have the ability to do that. We have an entire weekend dedicated to qualifications.
Yes, we do.
So, you know, so I understand part of it. But at the same time, like, going by oval points or championship points, that would screw Ed. Oval points, I think that nobody wants to do extra work. And so I can tell you that that's where that's going to go wrong, is that nobody wants to do
calculate
extra...
oval points separately.
Yeah.
I'm not doing that math.
No, it's either championship points or it's random. Or practice speed. I like practice speed, but at the same time, you know, the worst team in the NFL gets the first draft pick. And so if you constantly have the people that are doing the best having the primo spots for qualifying,
then
it's... It's almost like nepotism, you know? It's like you can...
I like that as an idea.
Yeah, it's like...
I'm sorry, I like your example.
Yeah, because then it's like, you know, your drivers that don't do as well, how are they ever going to get forward, you know,
better.
Move forward
mm-hmm.
if, you know, they can't even get a decent qualifying time?
Exactly, right.
I mean, granted, you know, we've seen plenty of good drivers, you know, move up from the back of the pack, and we've seen plenty of people win or podium after finishing, you know, after starting 15th or further back.
Yeah.
So it's not like it can't be done even if you have a shitty qualifying. But yeah, I don't know. I like the randomness.
I do too. And I think that just it's an opportunity to provide, as weird as it sounds for something that's random, provide evenness.
Exactly.
To the sport.
I mean, I think that it's fair. It's...
Yes.
Yeah.
It's saying, hey, you know what? You might be ahead of points, but you know what? You're going first, so you better get out there, Mr. King driver, and do a good job, Mrs. King driver.
Yeah.
Whomever it is.
Yeah. Well, and like, you know, what if, like Bourdais, you had a bad accident early on, and then later on you come to qualify, and then you're going to be at the bottom because you haven't raced any of the other tracks.
Yeah.
I mean, that's not really fair.
That's not fair.
Just because you don't race as many tracks doesn't mean that you might not do well, and especially if you're trying to get, you know, somebody that only races, you know, so many races a year.
Yeah.
And they're trying to get a full-time ride, but they're only a part-time ride. You know, how they can't even prove themselves because they're guaranteed to have a shitty qualifying.
Exactly.
Weather or whatever, you know.
I mean, I understand where the drivers are coming from. I think it's interesting that the two drivers that were interviewed for this article were Penske drivers who placed in the top five, saying, we don't like the randomness. Well, I'm not throwing shade at Penske.
But I'm just saying, like...
But I'm just saying.
How badly did it really hurt you?
Like...
You placed
in the
top
five.
Yeah, you were fucking fine.
Calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down.
Yeah.
Calm down.
And it's like they want to, you know, have more... Well, I don't think they use the word consistency. They said they wanted to eliminate randomness.
Eliminate randomness.
And that's fine on the track. Like, you want to eliminate randomness? Then how about you take grass out of ovals?
So...
Eliminate that fucking randomness.
I know that you... And I meant to, you nor I, I'm going to tangent here for a second, you nor I watched the USA Grand Prix.
Although I do have it recorded.
Oh, do you really? I meant to watch it.
I have it recorded.
Wow. Shit. You might be watching that for
a
minute. Apparently there's a whole issue with some driver leaving the track and being penalized and like other drivers not leaving the track and penalized. And somebody said, why don't you just eliminate all the grass? And I was like.
All we're saying.
Where's fucking Meyer?
All we're saying.
Where are
you? No, there was an issue with a pass that happened.
I know there was also the...
Part of that issue is that, A, there's no, like, reviewing right now. They just make their decision and you know.
No, it's all like our race.
Yeah, it is. Yeah. Decisions are final. You may not appeal
limited appeal. Because, trust me, I saw, oh my God, there's an appeal section. I read it, memorized, and I was like, there is not an appeal section.
No, the appeal section is, you cannot appeal anything.
The appeal section was, that's adorable.
Yeah.
It's just a...
The appeals are get fucked.
It's just a picture of Hitch that just says, that's adorable.
That's adorable.
That's adorable.
But their issue was that they weren't penalizing everybody that did that. It was just on that
certain
pass.
People, yeah.
Which made me think of how we talk about how race control apparently hates Hitch because they fine him for fucking everything. And so...
They do.
I mean, if you want to talk about fairness and getting rid of randomness, then how about you enforce infractions evenly?
Thank you.
Either have different levels where this one doesn't mean as much and they don't always have to, you know, but like it shouldn't be an option of I'm going to enforce this one because I feel like it today. Like if it's against the rules, it's against the rules. And it should be enforced every time it happens at every course. Or, you know, have different levels. These may or may not be enforced. These may or may not be enforced. Yeah.
I'm in policy and this just speaks to my policy need for everything to be organized. Laid out. And written the fuck down. Sorry, Mom.
Because it's like, okay, we're going to, you know, like when they find Hinchcliffe for, you know, for the pit, getting out of his pit box.
Yeah.
Like, that's fine. That's a safety issue.
That's a safety issue. We understand that 100%.
But then when they find other people for going off course, and it's like, but you watch other races where everybody's going off
course. God, and everybody went off course at Sonoma.
Yeah, and nobody got fined for that.
There were no infractions from what I can remember.
No. No. So it's like, if you want to talk about eliminating randomness, how about you enforce all of the rules all the time? That's how you can eliminate randomness.
Exactly.
I think that's fucking people on points because Hinchcliffe getting fucked on points at Texas basically put him out of the championship.
Yeah.
And so, like, that's more random than any kind of qualifying procedure.
Yeah, that's how you... Yeah. I don't know. It's just... I don't know what word I want to use, but it was very telling about whom the drivers were that were complaining about the qualifying procedure, and maybe whoever wrote the article only pulled from those two drivers. I will say that, but it was just telling to me that it was Newgarden and Power.
Yeah,
like you didn't have drivers from smaller teams going like, "That's right, we should do ovals this way." And the smaller teams are going like, "Fuck no, we like the randomness. Sometimes we can go when it's a better time."
Exactly, exactly.
Like we
well, and like we've talked about with Doug. I mean, the way that it's set up with sponsorship and all that business, the best driver is not who gets a ride. It's who brings the most money. Exactly. Most of these seats are not paid seats. They have to bring their own sponsorship.
Yes.
I mean, that's your issue right there with Connor Daly. Like,
yeah.
Yeah. So.
Oh, shit.
It's not about the best driver. And so if you have it be draw out of a hat, that makes it even, that makes it fair, and then the best driver really does win.
I didn't think about that with Connor, but I wonder how ABC Supply Company is going to handle that.
They stick with Foyt. They don't stick with Connor.
I know, but I know that they were very happy with Connor.
Well, one of the suspicions that I read early this morning when I saw it come across Twitter was that maybe ABC Supply had decreased funding in general.
Mm. Well, we'll see how long they're with Foyt Racing. Anyway. Sorry, that just hit me. I apologize. So those were a couple of things that kind of came across the news. And I thought, well, let's talk about it because
yeah,
why not?
Very interesting.
We don't have races.
Yeah.
Let's do a little bit of our females out there. Although the first thing I'm going to talk about is not female related. Kind of. It's female related.
It is.
Oh boy, here we go. Rolla Volstedt. V-O-L-L-S-T-E-D-T. So he's a team owner. I think he's driven before and whatnot. He passed recently, died recently, whatever term you want to use. He is the team owner who let Janet Guthrie have her opportunity in the 70s for the 500.
Well, that's awesome. I mean, not awesome that he died, but it's awesome that he was the one who gave her opportunity.
So, you know, a lot of people...
Well, rest in peace, Rolla.
...have been talking about, like, how great he is and whatnot. And I was like, you know what? Let's not forget. He was like, let's do this. And he gave her opportunity.
Well, that's awesome.
And I wanted to give a kind of a shout out, Women Crush Wednesday, to the Mazda Road to Indy female racers.
Yes.
Two of them we saw this weekend.
We did.
They were both USF 2000, so that's, and we'll get into that here in a moment or so.
That's the bottom tier.
That's the bottom tier. It's the lowest tier.
So there's three levels in the Mazda Road to Indy.
You're climbing up that ladder. The USF 2000 is you're on the ladder.
Yeah.
You're on it. That's about it.
Yep, so there's the USF, and then there's...
Pro Mazda,
and then there's Indy Lights.
Yes.
So that's your three tiers.
That's your tiers. So the first racer is Zoe Edenholm. 16-year-old rookie.
Easy for you to say.
Easy for me to say. 16-year-old rookie from Arizona.
Oh.
So she was out there racing.
She was indeed.
The other one is Sabra Cook. And I'll tell you what, Sabra...
She pronounces it Saber.
You think so?
I think so.
I know, like that. She pronounces it Saber.
Sabra.
Sabra. How have I been pronouncing it?
You said Sabra.
Sabra, yeah. I don't know however she pronounces it.
Yeah, I would assume Sabre, maybe not. S-A-B-R-E.
Yes. I've seen it both ways.
All right.
Do you?
I'll bet you have.
That's what she said. Said the person who's had to do their sexual harassment training 3 times now this week.
3 times this week?
Yeah, it won't stick.
Molly just keeps slapping people's asses.
I've been doing a lot of "that's what she said" jokes. Every year.
Oh, all right. So Sabre Cook. So she is a 6-time Colorado State Championship.
Carding.
Or champion.
Yes, in carding.
2012 Supercards USA S2 Semi-Pro Stock Moto Champion.
Say that again.
No, thank you.
2-time Tag USA World Champion.
Baller.
Baller. SK USA Mountain Region title.
That just sounds cool.
It just sounds impressive.
Scusa. I bet they call it Scusa.
Well, you know they call it Scusa.
They call it Scusa. She represented the United States in the Bruno Grana International Trophy.
Bruno Grana. International.
International.
Anyway.
The 2013 Women's Sports Foundation. Women's Sports Foundation's Women in the Winner's Circle Project Podium Grant.
That's a lot of words.
It was. So she received a,
grant
from the Women's Sports Foundation.
Right, and it's supposed to help these up-and-coming drivers. But what I find most impressive is she is doing all of this. She's driving full-time, you know, trying to get a ride, is that she's also majoring as a mechanical engineer.
What a badass.
I mean, gee-miny Christmas.
I mean, seriously. So she's smart as shit, too. So whenever she decides she doesn't want to race cars anymore, she can build them.
She could just go, that's cute. That's adorable. Shit. I'm just going to build them.
Yeah, that's fucking awesome.
Yeah. So those are our Women Crush Wednesdays, or Women Crush of the Week, because you know what? These girls are out there killing it.
They are.
They're trying to get rides. I know that each of them think that the 500 and... you know, getting a ride in IndyCar is their final destination, and I love it. I love that they're out there, and they are really trying their hardest.
I do, too. I'm into it.
I didn't write this down, but I know that we've talked about Pippa Mann has her scholarship. She's trying not to say it's her scholarship, but apparently they named it after her.
Yeah.
The first driver just went this weekend. I think her name is Abby McLaughlin.
Good name.
So that's exciting, too. So the Pippa Mann Scholarship is happening. So It's great. I'm excited to see girls out there trying to do what they can do.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
Well, keep up the good work, Zoe and Sabre.
Yes. And Abby.
All
Abbies.
Shit we didn't make up.
Speaking of endurance races.
Because Fernando is driving in the Rolex. Somehow I put Fernando stuff here under female racer news earlier.
Hey, it happens. By the way, speaking of just different things, if you don't follow us on social media, you should.
Oh, there you go.
You can search us on Facebook under the pages and your little search icon. You can search Fast Cars, Fast Girls or facebook.com/FastCarsFastGirls. We also have an Instagram at Fast Cars, Fast Girls. Our Twitter is at Fast Cars N317, and that's IN. And we have a Snapchat. It's Fast Cars, Fast Girls, but it's Fast Cars, FSTGRLS, because Snapchat couldn't handle all the vowels. Couldn't handle all the A's.
Makes sense for this.
They couldn't handle us. So yeah, so check us out on social media. We're also on Google Play, the iTunes Store, under podcast. We are on Podbean.
Yes.
If you go to www.fastcarsfastgirls.com, it will take you straight to Podbean.
Because we haven't put our website together yet.
We haven't. I was going to do that this week.
Yeah.
I can still do shit tomorrow, though.
Yeah.
I need to message the person that owns that domain.
We know them.
We know them. I need to message Ryan. It's Ryan.
It's cool.
I'll be like, hey.
Hey.
So, how do I make a web page?
Hello.
He'll love this. He will love this text that I send him. He'll be like, oh, Jesus Christ. Why did I agree to help him with this?
I mean, I figured we would just use, like, WordPress or something like that.
Yeah.
Because, yeah. Anyway, eventually we'll have a new webpage.
We will. So, anyhow, check us out, look us up, follow us.
We're also on TuneIn. Shout it, Indy Sports Car Podcast. Sorry, Frank, I've been drinking a little bit. Letting us know that now all people on Podbean are also on TuneIn.
So that's pretty badass.
So if you have that app, we're there. We are not on Spotify, guys. We are not that cool.
We are not. We are on Stitcher, aren't we?
We are on Stitcher.
All right. Well, we're still pretty damn cool.
I mean, we're awesome. Spotify just doesn't know it yet.
True.
That's how I look at it.
They'll figure it out. Yeah. They'll figure it out.
Yeah.
All right. So, speaking of endurance races, Cannonball Baker Sea to Shining Sea Memorial Trophy Dash. So it's a United States cross-country race.
Yes.
Thought up by Car and Driver.
Yes.
The magazine.
The magazine.
Started in 1971. The rules are pretty basic. You start at the Red Ball Garage on East 31st Street in New York City.
Yes.
And you go to the Portofino Inn in Redondo Beach, California.
Yes. And whoever wins has the shortest drive time.
Yep.
That's it.
That's it.
That's how you win. Game over. Those are the rules.
So you don't even have to all leave at the same time.
I imagine you probably don't all. I mean, I bet there's like a thing. They don't really do it anymore, but I bet there was like a thing.
Like probably in stages, because
there weren't a lot of people.
Well,
I know.
I mean, I would do it. I've always wanted to drive from coast to coast.
I mean, it seems kind of fun. I don't know.
My sister and I talked about that for years, that we were going to like take 2 weeks off and we were going to do US 40.
We might have to do this.
I mean, I'm 100% in.
I feel like we could do this.
Oh, it'd be so much fun. And you just, and but like, not racing, but like,
just doing it.
Stopping at random shit along the way.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's the whole, like, take Route 66 or 40.
Yeah, 40, Route 66, all of those, yeah. Play some good road trip music, the windows down, because some songs need to breathe. You know what I'm saying?
Girl, I know what you're saying.
Like, Lynyrd Skynyrd Freebird, if you listen to that with your windows up and
you're
it's not negative 10, yeah, you're a fucking communist.
You're done.
Like, that song needs to breathe. You gotta have windows down so you can blast it up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's about it.
No, we should do that.
Yeah.
All right. See the world's biggest ball of yarn, all that shit.
Oh, yeah.
I took a picture with Iowa's largest frying pan.
Why not?
Why not?
Why not?
I was like, 15-minute detour, done.
Let's go. Let's go.
Lego. Oh, all right. So the official record, 32 hours and 51. That's fucking fast.
That's fucking fast. I don't think
just under 33 hours. That is fast.
Yes. Dan Gurney, who won the Le Mans with A.J. Foyt, and it's actually a really good movie on Amazon.com, streaming, he ran it the second year in 35 hours and 54 minutes.
Wow, that's pretty impressive. What's the movie called that is on Amazon?
Oh, boy. Le Mans?
Is it the Le Mans? Okay, so he's in that movie?
Yeah, it's all about, so there's a time in the Le Mans where, oh my god, Ford and who was fighting Ford? Porsche? They were Porsche, I don't know. It's a whole thing. It's a whole dick about the engines and the fight. But it's a very good movie about the Le Mans and it's kind of a heyday because now it's good, but back then it was really just about like drivers and cars and like raw.
Well, and I feel like there was a lot more crossover, I mean, because AJ Foyt ran it. Mario ran it. You know, there was a lot more.
Everybody. I mean, there's crossover today.
But I feel like there's more drivers in each.
Yeah.
In each type of auto racing today than there were.
It's
then.
A very good movie. If you just Google Le Mans under Amazon.com, you'll find it. It's not the weird miniseries that just came out.
Okay.
It's a little bit old. You'll figure it out. I don't remember the exact name. That's fine. You know who is not listed as somebody who ran it but almost ran it?
Who?
Chick Hilliker.
God.
Oh, Chick.
Every day I learn something new about Chick. I just love him even more. I don't think it's possible. And then I learn something else.
You know.
Of course he almost did.
Of course he almost did. That's the story of my father's life is, well, almost.
Almost. Because he almost went to Woodstock.
He almost made it to Woodstock. And he almost ran the Cannonball Baker Sea to Shining Sea Memorial Trophy Dash. It's a lot of words.
That's a lot of words.
Hey, in typical Hilliker fashion, got their weekends mixed up.
So they went out there on the wrong weekend?
They did.
They went all the way out there?
I believe that they did, yeah. He had a
were
friend.
They early or late?
Early.
Aww.
He had a friend who was in med school, and they were just like a weekend early, but with his like exams, I couldn't do it the next weekend.
That sucks.
I know.
I would have still gone. I'd have been like unofficial champion.
I don't know
why. I'd have still died. I mean, they had already planned on going. I don't know why they didn't just road trip.
These are questions we all have for Chick Hilliker.
I know. I mean, I get that you're disappointed. You're like, fuck it, we'll just go back home. But, like, if I found out it was the wrong weekend, I'd be like, bro, we plan to drive to California. We're driving to fucking California.
Whom I can't talk shit about now because he definitely listens.
We thought he didn't, but he definitely does.
Because he gets our Ed Carpenter jokes. I'm done.
Yeah.
I'm done. Anyway. So that's a little bit of our shit we didn't make up. there is an endurance race across the United States.
Well, that's pretty badass.
So, still do it, guys. If somebody does it, let us know how you did.
Yeah, I love road tripping. I love road trips with other people, by myself. Like, I enjoy just driving in a car. You know, it's a good time.
It's a good time. I remember I had, like, a wedding shower in Fort Wayne, so I had to get there early.
Mm-hmm.
Left it, came all the way down here to my brother's birthday party. What's the Rick's?
Oh, Rick's Cafe Boatyard.
And it's not a long drive. It's only about 2 hours, but it was a good, solid, like, quiet 2 hours on 69.
Yeah.
Which is a good drive.
It's not a bad drive.
It's not a bad drive.
It's not, no, 69 is not a bad drive at all. 65.
No.
No. That'll turn an atheist into a believer. But 69 is not bad. Or vice versa.
Vice versa. You might believe in God when you start and at the end go,
There is no God.
There is only 65.
There is no law here. This place is devoid of reason.
Hashtag is it May yet?
Is it
May? News we should talk about. The Anthem singer's coming back next year.
Oh, yes.
We retweeted it. But I think it deserves special mention on our podcast.
It does. So the guy who sang Back Home Again in Indiana this year, he sings the national anthem for the Blackhawks at all their home games.
Yes.
He's an IU School of Music alum. And he's a BAMF.
He is.
And he has a great voice. And he did a fucking fantastic
job
at singing Back Home Again in Indiana this year.
Because that's the big thing, and everybody was kind of like,
because, I mean, the year right after Jim Nabors stopped doing it, they had Straight No Chaser, which I think was their only choice. You could not have had a single performer follow Jim Nabors because nobody's ever going to measure up. So they had to have, like, an in-between, a transition year. And I think Straight No Chaser was perfect because, again, that started at Indiana University.
Yeah.
But it's not a single person. It's a cappella. It's all guys. And so I think that was a perfect transition. And then they brought the anthem at the Anthem Singer. And
we actually listened to it right before we started this podcast, and I started crying a little bit. It's fine.
Oh, it's so beautiful. And so, and like when he finished this year, I turned to Molly and I was like, we need to sign him till the day he dies.
100%.
Like,
100%.
He did a fantastic job, and I'm so happy that the IMS and Doug Bowles have asked him to come back.
Good job, guys. Good.
Well
job.
Done. Well done.
I saw that news and I was like, okay, it's a bright spot on my day today.
Oh, definitely. Yeah, with the Connor news, I was like, that's...
It took me down from homicidal to just angry. Okay?
To just kick a puppy.
Just, whoa. Whoa, I will never kick a puppy.
I'm sorry, kick a child.
Yes.
That's acceptable. All right, well, it's almost Halloween, so we're going to be a little scary.
It's a little spooky.
A little spooky. So here's a funny story. And when we were growing up, we met because we went to the same church.
Mm-hmm.
And it happened to be a church that believed that Halloween
was of the devil.
It was the devil's holiday. And so we were not allowed to celebrate Halloween growing up. Now, what's funny is that, like, my parents had nothing weird against Halloween. And so I got to celebrate until I was, like, 5. And then the priest decided that he was going
to... I mean, to be fair, like, I'm pretty sure that my brother and I trick-or-treated even while we were at that church.
Oh, we would still trick-or-treat, but we had to be dressed up as a Bible character.
Right. Well, we went as, like, a dinosaur... And a bat.
Yeah, no, once we drank the Kool-Aid of Halloween is Evil,
then it was
like, it was all Bible characters.
I think I went as Laura Ingalls Wilder, and that's how somehow we got around it.
Oh. See, I did,
You were Esther.
I think I was Esther one year.
Moses' mom.
I was Moses' mom, which I was at school, because sometimes I would get out of school because they'd be doing all Halloween things. And
right.
We couldn't celebrate it. And so sometimes I just have the day off and we'd go to like the Covered Bridge Festival or some shit, or just fuck around. But sometimes I'd go to school and like one day somebody was like, who are you? And I was like, I'm Nefertiti, blah, blah, blah. And they're like, no, you're not. You're Cleopatra. My sister has that same outfit.
Or you're like, I'm Moses' mom. Or you're like, oh, I have to sit outside in the hallway.
Yeah. During every art and music class in the month of October, it's me and the one Jehovah's Witness sitting in the hall because we don't celebrate holidays.
I didn't even get a Jehovah's Witness.
Oh, you're just all by your lonesome?
My mom says I'm not allowed to do anything that has to do with demons.
Right? We had to draw a haunted house in art class.
I gotta go.
I'm not allowed to draw a haunted house. Just draw a fall picture. Okay.
I'll draw a leaf.
Right. I'll draw a pumpkin.
Which, to be fair, I think even after our parents were like, it's fine.
Yeah, I mean, they eventually were like, that was pretty dumb. Like, why did we do that?
It's still hard for me to do. Like, I've been a zombie. I was a vegetarian zombie, first of all.
Yes, which was stellar.
First of all, I was a vegetarian zombie, because respect. Gotta rep the brand.
Well, yeah.
Like, even to this day, I don't think we've ever been anything like... We went as ghosts one year, but...
Yeah. No, my mom hates when, like, little kids are dressed as demons and shit, and, like, the devil. Like, she still hates that.
I feel like we've not even done that as adults.
No. Like, I've been a witch twice.
Yeah.
But it wasn't, like, a scary witch, because also, my birthday's right before Halloween, and so I always have a costume party.
Right.
So whatever my costume is for my birthday party, it's also my Halloween costume, and so it's never anything crazy, because I want to look pretty on my birthday.
Which is what we're doing Friday.
I'm vain. Yeah, so, definitely. Yeah. But yeah, one year I was a witch, and this actually, it was like an after Halloween party, and I wore an old prom dress that was black.
Those old prom dresses of yours get a lot of use.
Yeah, man, I use prom dresses more than anybody else. People really underutilize their prom dresses. I have used those sons of bitches for everything. I donated 3 of the 4.
Okay.
But yeah.
So yeah. Fun fact about our Halloween.
So fun fact, yeah. But yeah, I wear a prom dress, and then I had a broom and a black hat.
Yeah, that sounds about right.
It's pretty fun. So anyhow, so yeah, so we enjoy celebrating Halloween as adults because we kind of got gypped as kids a good decade.
That's why when people are like, oh, I'm having a Halloween party, no costumes, I'm like, I mean, no costumes.
I'm wearing a costume.
I'm not coming because I'm going to wear one.
Right? Because like I had to dress up as Bible characters forever. And everybody's going as fucking Mary.
Right? I had to be let me preface, I love Laura Ingalls Wilder.
Sure, but it doesn't get more homeschooled than that.
No, I did go to that weird Montessori school.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, that was the only thing weirder than dressing, like, a Bible character was Laura Ingalls Wilder. You were still an outcast.
Still an outcast of my weird Montessori school.
Yeah.
I want to make a psychiatrist really happy one day.
Yeah, you are.
So, anyway, we decided to have...
What keeps IndyCar personalities up at night? What scares them?
Oh, no. Spooky.
Ed Carpenter.
Being forced to drive road courses.
Let's see.
Takuma Sato.
Getting asked his opinion on North Korea.
Yeah.
And Pat McAfee.
Shout out Indy 500 this year.
Let's see. J.R. Hildebrand.
Ed Carpenter running after him with electric razors. Marco Andretti.
Having to actually drive a race car.
Still kills me.
Let's see. Mikhail Aloshin.
Immigration and control. What do you think keeps Tony Kanaan up at night?
That he might one day be as disposable as Juan.
I hope that never happens.
I hope that never happens. You'll never be disposable to me, TK. Let's see. Graham Rahal.
People finding out that he hates Steak and Shake.
That's blasphemy! Steak and Shake is amazing.
It is. But I bet he hates it.
I mean, it'll definitely give you the shits.
Have you ever seen Graham with a Steak and Shake shake?
I have not. But it's not the shakes that get you.
No.
It's those steak burgers. I mean, I've worked at 3 different Steak and Shakes.
Them steak burgers.
I mean, it's good. But it's just barely not White Castle.
Oh, God.
All right. Let's see. Speaking of Juan Pablo Montoya, what do you think scares him?
He realizes that nobody likes Juan.
What? Juan is not so bad.
Juan is not so bad. Why do you not like Juan?
Why do you not like Juan?
You know, what do you think keeps Elio Castroneves up at night?
Male pattern baldness. I mean, we know he colors his hair, but if he were to start to lose it, he'd wear a piece, 100%.
Oh, yeah. Hey, Elio, you can go on Amazon, and there are some good pieces on there. I mean, they're women's pieces. I bet there's good men pieces, too.
I'm sure there are.
I'm sure there are. It's fine. It's cool.
I'm sure there are. Well, what do you think keeps Alexander Rossi?
Rossi, my goodness. What do you think keeps Alexander Rossi up at night?
That's right. The Law and Order will one day be made after him. Even though it will not be based on actual events or people.
I need a minute after that. Oh, shit.
Let's see. What do you think keeps James Hinchcliffe up at night?
Yeah, turn 3 of the Indianapolis Motor Speedway. Jesus.
That's, yeah. Yep.
Well, apparently he has no fear.
Yeah, he does not have any fear.
No fear. What do you think anyone has this? I'm so scared. I'm scared of this answer. What do you think keeps Sage care of at night?
Body hair. Body hair. Yeah, so then he wouldn't want to take off his shirt as often.
No, he would not.
Poor guy.
Oh.
Let's see. What do you think keeps Connor Daly up at night?
Dixie cups. Dixie cups full of water everywhere.
In his trailer. In his bedroom.
Outside his front door.
Yeah. In his car.
Everywhere.
God, they should, like, fill his garage with it. They should get his team in on it next year, whoever he's with.
That'd be hilarious. I feel like this could happen.
I mean, I want to be in on it.
Because he lives with Rossi. Guys, you can make this happen.
Yeah.
It's not that hard.
I'll provide the Dixie cups. Yeah. We got a Sam's Club membership.
Let's go.
It's cool.
What do you think keeps Mario Andretti up at night?
Marco using his number and fucking ruining it. What do you think keeps Michael Andretti up at night?
Oh yeah, Mario Andretti, 100%.
Mario and a wrench.
Sava with a wrench.
What do you think keeps Buddy Lazier up at night?
The replay of every shitty Indianapolis 500 he's ran in the past 5 years.
You know?
Which would be all of them.
Including the one that he won.
Well,
I don't think that keeps him up. I think that pays his bills. I think that he sleeps just fine. I think he sleeps like a fucking corpse.
Did he win within the past 5 years?
Not within the last five.
Oh, okay. That's a... All right.
No, he won in 97.
Yeah.
Let's see.
What do you think keeps Simon Pagenaud up at night?
Parvo. Parvo and heartworms.
It's real.
Yeah.
It's real.
He loves... His little baby Norman.
He loves Norman.
What do you think keeps Joseph Newgarden up at night?
Simon Pagenaud with a champagne bottle standing over his bed. I'm not wrong on that one.
Pass me now, motherfucker.
Who is the winner now, Newgarden?
I am coming for you.
I am coming for you. Joseph Newgarden.
You know, who has... What keeps Pippa Mann up at night?
Obviously segregation.
Yeah. Obviously. Which is some scary shit. And that's real.
That's real.
That's not just boogeyman. That's not the chupacabra.
That's shit real happening. Shit.
Happening. Some real shit.
Hey, what do you think Spencer Peugeot, what do you think keeps him up at night?
Ed Carpenter. when daddy gets mad. When daddy gets mad.
Everybody loses when daddy's angry.
Yeah. He just tries to go to his room, stay out of the way. When daddy's mad.
Nobody wins.
Nobody wins. You know, what do you think keeps Zach Veach up at night?
The fear that somebody's going to find out he's 13 years old. My goodness.
He does look like he
God love him.
Has
he
not even
like
gone through puberty yet.
Looks like he's 13. Good on him.
I mean, honest to God, you could put him side by side with a date that I had to a dance in 7th grade, and they almost the look same. Identical.
Oh, shit. He does look like one of my...
And the bad haircut. Like, it just screams junior high.
Shit, he looks like somebody I dated in junior high, doesn't he?
Well, yeah, he does.
I had that realization. I'm not okay with that right now. That's what keeps me up at night.
See, we make fun of him, but you dated somebody that looked like him.
I did. He was a trumpet player.
We all dated somebody that looked like him. They were all trumpet players.
You know,
Or percussion.
Yeah.
Trombone
players.
You know who we haven't talked about?
Yeah?
Scott Dixon and Will Power.
My goodness. Wow.
What do you think they're afraid of?
Not a goddamn thing.
Fucking right. Not a goddamn thing. Because they're from Australia, and everything there tries to kill you.
And New Zealand.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Australia and New Zealand. They're not scared at all.
Oh, that was fun.
Oh, that was fun. So that was our Halloween.
We thought we'd have a little Halloween funsies.
Halloween funsies, indeed. So.
Huh?
All right, well, let's wave the white flag.
What do you got for me?
I'm super fucking excited that tomorrow on the 26th, I get to go out to the IMS and see the 2018 chassis.
I am so
jealous.
And
that it's going to be Hinch and Dixon, who were two of my favorite drivers.
Oh, my God.
And I'm going to try to break all the rules I can and chat with somebody. So.
Cheer Doug Bowles. Should you listen to this? I had nothing to do with it. Whatever she does.
If you just give me media creds, I wouldn't have to break any rules. Dear Doug Bowles. He's here to ask for forgiveness and permission. Apparently. So I'm excited about that. I'm excited to see what else, you know, comes to pass on the silly season.
Yeah.
And obviously it's my birthday. We're going out this Friday. So it's a good week. I'm off work. I'm fucking around. And, yeah. Okay. What about you?
Well, it is your birthday. So I'm going to take a minute and just say happy birthday to somebody who has been in my life forever, including some pretty tough times. So I'm just thankful you're in my life. And I'm glad that once a week we get together and shoot the shit about stuff we love. So,
aww, happy birthday. Too. Also, you're a dick because I didn't say any of that for your birthday, and your birthday was just 2 months ago. And now you said this super sweet thing. Right. And I was just like, hey, it's Molly's birthday. Listen to this hilarious sacrilegious card I got her. And you're like, thank you for being in my life for all these hard times.
Excuse me.
I love you so much.
What is your love language?
Words of affirmation. That's true.
That's true.
That's true.
I'm speaking your love language.
That's true. You are speaking my love
language. I'm very
language.
Excited that you're in my life. I'm happy that we get to do this together.
I am too.
And let's see what happens next year.
I mean, it's been hashtag the year of awesome.
It has been.
The year of awesome is still going on. There's 33 drivers in Indy 500, and we are both
33. So
I feel like...
Let's see what happens.
It's only going to get better from here.
That means next year's Indy 500. It's our Indy 500.
It's our
which
year.
Is,
it's like our golden golden birthday.
Which is hard to top, because last year's Indy 500 was amazing together. So.
Oh, it was. So, all right. Well, thanks for listening, guys. Have a great week.
See you later.
So,
oh, what am I doing?
So that'll be interesting.
And anyway, it's the least surprising announcement.